A very good evening to you and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Simpoga. And this evening we'll talk about consequences of youth unemployment in Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Abdul Shakur Abud of VOA Swahili Service.
Thank you very much for having me once again.
You're welcome. And joining us is Suleiman Mugula, regular panelist. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the listeners.
And welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much. The pleasure is mine.
You're welcome. As I said, our topic tonight is going to be consequences of youth unemployment in Africa. And as some of our listeners may know, young people aged between 15 and 25 represent more than 60% of the continent's total population and account for 45% of the total labor force. And unlike other developing regions, sub-Saharan Africa's population is becoming more youthful, with youth as a proportion of the total population projected at over 75% by next year. Due to this high, there are many reasons for that. We'll talk about them momentarily. But let's first, before we look at the causes and the consequences, youth unemployment is a reason to worry about the whole situation.
The whole situation, yes. Once again, thank you very much. The whole situation in Africa, I would say even the world, the youth has a major challenge because a number of reasons. When you look at the economies of Africa, it's still staggering. Although you will see on the World Bank, IMF, last week, they were saying that Africa is still growing fast. But when I talked to some of the ministers and I talked to some of the officials, I said, you have this growth so fast, but on the ground, nothing is moving. And there was that issue, what is really happening? It's that the big businesses are making billions of dollars, but not creating jobs. That's number one. Number two, governments have no plans. They have no plans at all to help the youth employment. And number three, you're having, once again, like we used to have in the 60s, boom of kids. We talk about kids being born all over once again.
High fertility rate.
Yes. And that is coming all together and creating this whole problem. I think my friend in Durban will agree with me with that.
Yeah, but before you get to him, even South Africa, one of Africa's strong economies, they have a high rate of youth unemployment. So, Suleiman.
Yes, please. Actually, at the moment, we are sitting at over 4 million unemployed young people. And at the moment, it is the biggest problem in the country and very much one of the causes of what is happening in South Africa at the moment. But before I come to South Africa, to add on what my colleague has said, what has been happening is that there have been these promises and these projections and these exaggerated figures of growth and growth and growth. What has happened as we stand now is that looking at the number of immigrants who are moving out of the continent, both in Europe and others down south, it shows that the rhetoric has not worked. As far as I'm concerned and as far as the young people are concerned, if we are to judge from their actions, they have given up. They are tired of the rhetoric. They are fed up of the rhetoric. So they have decided to walk out of the continent. At the moment, we are having large numbers of young people moving in all directions. They have decided to desert these countries and leave them with this, the way my colleague has said, with the leaders who do not have policies to help them to get jobs. So at the moment, we are in a crisis as a continent, and we have to find out what are the causes, what are the solutions to what we are facing now.
You are mentioning how the many youths in Africa have decided to vote with their feet by taking off to down south, which has led to this xenophobic violence in the recently in South Africa, and over 1,600 dead since the year began across the Mediterranean. This is quite worrying because at this rate, what's the future?
That's really worrisome because I look into this and say, How can somebody see, because with today's media, social media, people see all what is happening. You see your brother and sister dying in the Mediterranean Sea, but yet you decide to go there. Mm-hmm. So that's the question. It shows that where they are living is even worse, because you are risking your life. You are living, let's say, most of those who are living, who are going to the Mediterranean, are living from East Africa, from Ethiopia, from Eritrea, from Somalia, from West Africa. But the issue here is that how they're crossing the Sahara Desert, because they're not flying to Libya.
No.
They're all using the road. They're using their feet, as you said. Mm. And it is a very dangerous trip they're taking. So they are sacrificing their lives to go there. So the issue is, why would they do such a thing when they know there's no hope? Number two, they know that the brothers who are in Europe or in America, they have not got any legal situation, because we know that in Europe, the cause of immigration has caused the rise of right-wing parties. Mm-hmm. Le Pen in France, you have in Sweden, you have in Switzerland. So it's created anger over there, just the same thing you're having in Southern Africa. So there is a problem. And when you look at this, it's not only Africa. Latin America, American Barack Obama is having a hard time to pass immigration law because people from South America are crossing the borderline. So you have a huge challenge. And that is what I think is the problem, is what is happening? What is the future for these people? If they can sacrifice their lives, then there's something very, very dangerous happening.
Yeah, talking of this in sort of sense of inevitability, even despite the violence in South Africa, most of those migrants are saying they're not going anywhere.
Yes.
Suleiman.
Yes. Exactly, Douglas, because what has happened, the way my colleague has said, we have got a lot of very serious factors which have led to these young people migrating. First of all, one of the biggest problems which we have on the continent, which is causing this. Number one, we don't have leadership on the continent. The majority of our leaders have overstayed. As a result, they have rusted. They have lost sight. They have lost touch. They have lost energy. They are exhausted. They are rusted. They don't have direction. Any leader who has stayed more than 10 years, the act of staying over 10 years itself is corruption, because you leave the leadership in the same hands for many years. So if they have lost the direction, if they don't have good policies, it means the economy of the country will stagnate. That is what is happening. The young people are seeing the same leaders sitting in the same chairs, doing nothing, only promising. And for them, they become poorer and poorer. There are no jobs. There are no hospitals. There is poverty all around them. And the leader is still continuing and promising. In the meantime, his own group is becoming richer and richer, while the others are becoming poorer and poorer. So what are the young people supposed to do? They lose hope. Once they lose hope, they decide to vote with their feet.
Yeah, talking of the leadership on the continent, in many of these African countries, most of the leaders don't take this issue as seriously. Nobody mentions youth unemployment.
Well, you would hear them mentioning it, but seriously, I don't think so. Because let's take it. Last year during the African-US summit, it was a big subject during Barack Obama, bringing those youth up here. But the question here comes to, where is the jobs to be created? What is supposed to be created? That's where is the challenge. Africa needs infrastructure. Yeah. But let's look at this. Africa now is getting aid from China. But then when the Chinese are building the roads, they're not recruiting young Africans. They're bringing Chinese in. Mm-hmm. And that's another challenge. We have to look into that. Africa needs health. Africa needs healthcare. But all those who can do those work are all going out of the country, and they're working in hospitals in Europe and America. And what is happening? The hospitals are dilapidated, and you don't have anybody there to train the youth or to take even the youth to work. The good doctors of Africa are no longer there. So there is no way of creating jobs. Jobs are being created at the high level, high tech. And that's another challenge which Africa has to come, because high tech is taking all the jobs. sooner or later, we're going to have the same problem that we're having here in the United States. Everything is run by robots. Everything is run by computers. And no longer a man who is going to be commanding anything. You go to an airport, you go to the airport, you're just seeing machines looking at you. You have to wear to get a ticket, you have to talk to a machine. You don't talk to a human being. So that's going to happen in Africa when you're talking about the future. It might come. So where are we going to get the work?
And what is so frustrating, Douglas, is that at the height of the xenophobic violence in South Africa, at the height of the deaths in the Mediterranean, neither Europe or the current leadership have been able to point out that the major cause of all this one is lack of employment. Most of the leaders in Europe are talking about human traffickers. They are talking of other factors. They are talking of insecurity. But the major cause is not the insecurity. It's because we have been made to believe that, according to Europe and the developed countries, we should get security before good leadership. Instead of having good leadership which can provide direction, which can provide innovative leadership, let's give one example. Look at the countries in Africa that have changed leadership. Look at Ivory Coast. Look at Senegal. Look at Zambia. Look at Botswana. Look at Mauritius. All these countries that have changed, which have got a political transformation, there is hope. And as a result, you can be able to hold the young people, promising them that maybe tomorrow will be better. But if you look at the other side, or the countries which have been stagnant, they are the major pushers of all these immigrants.
But
Gambia, Cameroon.
But I would like to differ also, because Senegal is transferring leadership, but it has a huge amount of immigrants out of that country. That's another problem.
But to their credit, at least, it's the youth that led to that change, that transition you're talking about.
Yeah, they brought the change. It's the youth because of the same frustration.
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is that Senegal, yes, there is a change, but the youth brought the change. Change the government, just like what happened in Tunisia, what happened in Libya, what happened in Egypt. Look at what has happened to all these countries. We have had change, but there's no hope yet. There's no